Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wix Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aerostyle t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi friends, Matt Jolly here to tell you about a special offer from my friends at Aero Cinema. Just log on to warbirdradio.com/deals and watch for free Aero Cinema's new feature presentation on Scott Yoke's P-51 Quicksilver. Inside you'll find a special Aero Cinema subscription rate that's so good I'm not allowed to say it on the air. So click on warbirdradio.com/deals, that's warbirdradio.com/deals, and watch Quicksilver for free, plus receive that special offer from Aero Cinema. Just remember, warbirdradio.com/deals.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave. This is Warbird Radio.
Chilson, and gosh, I'm glad you're here with us tonight. Today is Tuesday, March 13th, 2012. It's 8 p.m. Eastern time, and we're playing our live show tonight. So if you're listening in, be sure and participate. We're glad you're here. If you're listening to the podcast, try and tune in one Tuesday night. We'd love to have you as part of our live show and participate with everyone else. If you'd like to get a hold of us tonight, there's a couple of ways you can. Obviously, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Skype us at Warbird Radio. Email your questions to live@rcscalebuilder.com, or just simply click on the Join Our Live Chat on Warbird Radio. And there's guys already in there. It looks like we've got about seven folks in there. So be sure and join in if you can. Couple of little housekeeping things before we get into the show tonight. A new feature here on warbirdradio.com is the deals page. If you look at the menu on Warbird Radio's website, it's just simply warbirdradio/deals, or you can click on the menu where it says deals, and they have some great offers from the Wright Brothers catalog and Aero Cinema. You know, if you're interested in getting some memorabilia or possibly, you know, subscribing to Aero Cinema, those are two great places to two great offers there to take advantage of. I would really, really encourage you, if you have not signed up for a subscription to Aero Cinema, to do that, because they have such a wide range of programming on aviation history. It's quite a you know, quite a interesting series of programs to check out. But be sure and do that. Also, flyingcolors.com, Gary Velasco has a deal on there too, but that's warbirdradio.com/deals. Be sure and check that out while you're listening tonight. Oh, well, let's get right into the show. This is our annual springtime checkup show, and I do this show each year because I think it's really important. And too many guys do not do this, is to go over your planes thoroughly before you fly in this season. And I don't mean just checking the batteries. I mean checking all the connectors, you know, checking everything. But what we want to talk about tonight is what things you do to check out your models before each flying season. And also on the RC Scale Builder show page, if you just click on shows on the menu on Warbird Radio, go to the RC Scale Builder show, there's a link for this show that will let you download a checklist that I've kind of put together over the years that I use to check my models out each year. And some of this stuff seems kind of basic, but you would be surprised what you find. So we'd love to hear your feedback about this and hear your ideas about what you do each spring. Just give us a call at 478-787-4768. If you have Skype, just put in Warbird Radio, and you can Skype into the show, and we'll take your call. Or email us at live@rcscalebuilder.com, or actually post your message there in the live chat. And believe it or not, we've already got a suggestion in from our buddy Gil Throne. He writes in, he does a deep cycle even on lipos. He puts fresh tubing collars on all the fuel line connectors. Does a complete fuel system check, checks the servo mounts, and usually puts a fresh drop of CA in the screw holes. He says, always be sure and use fresh gas each year. That's a great tip. I can't tell you how many guys come out there the first time, and they can't understand why their engine's running so bad. It's because the gas is going stale. Get you an electric or something and get out there and enjoy yourself flying and get your thumbs back before you take your prize bird out. But that's some great ideas, Gail. We appreciate you writing in and telling us that. And we'd love to hear from you guys. So pick up the phone or pick up Skype and give us a call. A couple of things I want to talk about tonight. I'd like to hear maybe some of your experiences about where not checking things out have tripped you up. I know I've had that happen before in the past where I didn't check a connector out once. I lost an airplane once because the aileron connector, it apparently started corroding a little bit, and over time it just was intermittently working, and next thing you know, I lose the model. So it's very important that you check all these things out. And another thing we're going to talk about tonight that I'd like to get some feedback on from you guys, are you guys using the new A123 batteries, you know, the LIFEs, and what your thoughts are about them? I know I switched to them back in December, and I've really, really enjoyed them. They're great batteries. I have nothing but good things to say about them. I wish I would have switched a long time ago as soon as they came out, to be honest with you. But it's a great, great power system. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And if you have any questions about it, I'm sure between myself and the other audience members, we can answer your questions. So don't hesitate to give us a call or Skype us. We'd love to hear from you. I wanted to talk about maybe some you know, frequent points of failure on airplanes and what your history and experience is with that. Some of you, I'm sure, have lost planes in the past and have narrowed it down to one thing that now you don't do anymore, or you weren't doing before and you do now. So let's hear from you and, see what you have to say about that. I want to talk a little bit. I want to share a little experience with my A123 batteries. I thought this was really interesting. The last fly-in I attended was the 12 o'clock high down in Lakeland, Florida. And that was like the second week in December last year. Well, when we got home, I put my P-47 up and I topped off the batteries and put it in the rack. And I guess it was last week before we went down to Perry, Georgia. I was just curious. I was starting to go over my plane with my checklist, and I checked the batteries. I put the charger on it, and I think it had lost like 37 milliamps over that is all it took over since December. So that's pretty impressive. And if you're not familiar with these cells, these are the same cells that they use in the cordless drills and cordless tools. So they have a lot of advantages. They're very safe. In my opinion, they're safer than NICADs because they can discharge and charge and take so much abuse. without, you know, blowing up. They're really, really good, durable cells. They have a great shelf life. And, you know, it's just a good technology. I think we finally found our rhythm on batteries with these batteries, because they're great for modelers and they work out really well. So I'd like to hear your experience with that. Is anybody out there using these? And if you're not, what questions you may have about them? I'd be happy to answer any questions with my limited experience with them, but I can tell you that there are a lot of people out there using them, and it's quite a safe and effective technology. And my old theory with batteries, which I've changed now, was with the nickel metal hydrides, I actually used to throw the batteries away each year because nickel metal hydrides are so bad about if you don't charge them for a certain length of time. They're really hard to recover, and there's a lot of disadvantages to them. You know, at the time, they were great, but we have better batteries now. So being able to get away from the nickel metal hydrides and move to these A123s has been a fantastic experience for me, and so I really enjoy telling you guys about it and hope you'll consider it. I actually get mine from – there's a lot of sources to get these from. My only recommendation to you about this is that you ought to find a good, reliable vendor, okay, and stick with them, someone who can support you. Yeah, you can buy the cheap Chinese knockoffs a lot cheaper, but you're not going to get any support. You're not going to get any help. So I would go with somebody, you know, who knows it, like the Life Company or Electrodynamics, one of those companies, and who are going to be able to give you support. I went with Electrodynamics simply because I like their setup of – they have a very nice switch assembly that allows you to balance the batteries, and they have a nice voltage meter and balance meter for their batteries. So I was really impressed with the complete system. So I would always recommend them for that reason. But there are other great systems out there, and I know a lot of people are using them. So I'd like to hear you know, what you have to say about that. I see Mike's talking about in the chat room, he still uses nickel metal hydride, and there's nothing wrong with them at all. The way that I am, I store my planes for a long, fair amount of time during the winter. So these, I think, are going to work out better for me. If you're actively, you know, charging all the time and keeping them topped up, I'll tell you an interesting little thing someone told me once, who's a battery engineer. Nickel metal hydrides lose 1% of their charge per day just sitting on the shelf. And obviously that's affected by temperature. The lower the temperature, the less they lose. The higher the temperature, the more they lose. So that's something to consider about those type of batteries. Let's see. I was trying to see what some of the other messages here were. Let's see. You store my planes with a receiver in place. Yeah, that should be fine. Jason, without any problems. The thing you want to be careful of each season is you want to – your connectors that you connect and disconnect, like the wing to the fuselage, you really want to take some time and check those out thoroughly. A lot of times they will, you know, wear and the wires will start becoming frayed. So you either want to change those out, change those extensions out, or, you know, repair them. But be sure you do, you know, something along those lines to correct it. But let's see, I was going to pull the checklist up here. If you guys, if you want to go get the checklist, just click on shows on Warbird Radio and RC Scale Builder Show. And at the very top of this episode, there's a link to a PDF with the checklist. And by all means, take this, print it out. Give it to your club members, download the PDF, put it on your club website, whatever. It's a great checklist that's been developed over the years for checking out your airplanes. But, you know, the main things you want to check out on the airframe is that, you know, everything is tight. Your CG is still on. You know, you want to check all these things each year. And, guys, I'm telling you, if you will go through this checklist with each of your models, the odds of you you know, having an equipment failure are going to really, really go down quite a bit because you'll thoroughly check everything out. But be sure and take a look at that and see what you think. Some other things that you want to be careful of when each year when you check is another thing I've started doing is like Gail talked about was he checks the fuel system thoroughly. And let's talk about that a little bit because there's a lot of things that you can obviously check on a model. But, you know, Tigon tends to get hard over time, especially the Tigon that's on the clunk in the tank. I am a big fan of if you go to a small engine shop, they sell these clunk filters. Which basically is the clunk with a like a cotton filter in it, and you basically put it on the end of the tubing, and it's heavy enough it'll keep the fuel tubing fairly loose and flexible moving around. But even with that, you want to be sure and check that line inside the tank, okay? Because it will get stiff and hard, and if you get your plane in an odd attitude flying sometimes. You may run into some trouble, but especially if you're flying around inverted a lot. and there are people that do that. So be sure and check your fuel system out good. Make sure that it's airtight. There's no bubbles in it. Fuel filters, I'm not a big fan of those. I like the clunk filter just simply because it's large enough and there's enough surface area on it that it's going to take a really, really, really long time to clog it up. So that's kind of my thoughts about that, and you want to check that out. Well, but I'd love to hear from you guys, and I'm going to challenge. Let's see who we got in the chat room here. We've got, let's see, Dave Mahaffey's in there. Dave, I want you to pick up the phone and give me a call, and let's talk a little bit about what you do to get your planes ready. Folks, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email your question to live@rcscalebuilder.com, and we'll read it on the air. Also, you can join in our live chat if you're listening live tonight. By simply clicking on join our live chat, either on the Warbird Radio website or on the player that you're listening to right now. So be sure and participate because this show's for you and we want to share ideas. So I'd love to hear back from some of you guys. I mean, I can sit here and read off script all night, but come on, you know, let's have a little fun with it. And I'd love to hear from you guys anyway and what you're working on. But yeah, you can call in about anything, by the way. So if you just want to talk about what you're working on. I heard an interesting piece of news the other day from a vendor, and I don't want to release my source yet, but the word is that JR is getting ready to release an 18-channel radio. And that sounds, I know, somewhat ridiculous with that many channels, but there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is they're going to add two features that they have not had before. One is live telemetry from your model, which is incredible, you know. And that does not just mean airspeed and temperature and things like that, but it also means telemetry from your receiver, how many, you know, fades you get, what receivers are being used the most, and you can go back after the fact and review your flight and look at that information. And the other thing that they're promising is redundant receivers. And the way this is going to work is you'll have two physical receivers in the plane. Everything is basically wide. And the way the transmitter will distinguish when it binds is one is the primary and one is the secondary. And there's a given amount of conditions that causes it to switch over to the other receiver. But anyway, so that's some exciting news, you know, safety-wise that's coming out this year from JR Radio. So be sure and check that out. And the word is the transmitter is actually going to be cheaper than the current 12-channel. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out. And the person telling me this is very, very tight with JR. So I certainly trust what he says. But yeah, we'll have to be sure and check that out and keep an eye on that. So if you guys hear any word about that, I'd, I'd love to hear more about it because I'm certainly interested, and I hope some of you are too that fly JR. Some other things coming up. Let's see. We've got a bunch of events coming up this year. Obviously, we'll get into those in just a little bit. But you know, you guys are drying me out hanging here. I can't believe you're not calling in and discussing this. Let's see, we got a couple of comments here in the chat room. Guest 41, whoever that is. Let's see, it says, Mike, I changed the tubing in the tank and unplug and plug the servo connectors. Also check the muffler bolts and put in a new spark plug or glow plug for each engine. That's Chris. Okay, super. That's great advice. I'm kind of like you, Chris. If I'm in there, and I'm checking all that tubing, I'm probably just going to replace it anyway. So I agree with you 100%, buddy. That's some good advice. Also, let's see. What else we got here? Yeah, we got a couple of people using the LIFE batteries, which is great. That's a great system. Like I said, there's a lot of fantastic ones out there. Just – guys, you spend all this time and money on your model. Don't skimp on, on batteries. That's not the place where you want to try and skimp. And, you know, we all like to save money and like to get the best deal, but, you know, you never know what you're getting. And I would highly encourage you to go the route. And to be frank with you, whatever you spend on a 6-volt nickel metal hydride, you're going to spend about the same on LIFE. And it looks like, believe it or not, we've got a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think I'll remain nameless on this call so that I don't get faulted.
I know who this is.
Well, the last time I called, I turned my volume down to zero, and I'm still getting reverb, and I made a miss of things. I'm sorry about that.
Well, no problem.
Is it clear tonight? Am I talking okay?
You sound absolutely
okay.
Fabulous.
Well, I ran across something 2 years ago in the fuel system. I always use aviation gas,
right,
and I get it for nothing, and you run AMSOIL. And I had 12 gallons of gas run through my D7 with this G62 in it. Mm-hmm. And I start borrowing some gas from somebody. I think I actually put some regular in it. Anyway, I started leaning out, and I would richen it up and lean out, richen up, lean out. Finally, it was really lean, so I had to pull the system apart, and I was getting white gel in the little filter screen in the carburetor. And the best I can think about is that the alcohol was reacting with either the aviation fuel with the lead and the aviation fuel that was being mixed. But at any rate, it did it so many times, I said, I'm doing something wrong. And so I quit mixing the car gas with the aviation fuel, and I've been fine ever since.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably right. I think that certainly sounds like what would happen. And that's a good point. You don't want to mix the two. You know, and there's several alternatives to fuel. Obviously, one is avgas. Also, a lot of people run what they call white gas, which is Coleman-Leonard fuel.
Yeah, that's a real low octane.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And you won't get the power off of it, although it's a clean burn. But
right.
But with aviation fuel, now a fellow that pumps fuel for a living with airplanes, he says the aviation fuel does not get stagnant. And he says there have been planes set on the tarmac for years.
Yeah.
And they go out and fire it right up. Someone buys a plane and it's got fuel in it. They get it and fly off with it. And he says it doesn't go stagnant.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but this is what he's telling me. But
right.
Regardless, I mix up 5 gallons a year usually is what I end up burning in just the one airplane. And I get my gas mostly for free. I go up to the local FBO and they get sump gas. And they have to go out there every morning and run about a gallon of gas out of the sumps to make sure there's no water in it. Of course, there's never water. and they have to throw that gas away. And if you get tight with the FBO boys, they'll give you the gas.
There you go. Yeah, that's some great tips, Gail. I used to run Avgas, and I switched back to regular. The main thing I liked about the Avgas, and to be honest with you, I can't tell any performance difference.
Well, the carburetors go bad with the alcohol, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is
and
true.
And that's the
true.
Diaphragms get brittle, mm-hmm. and the alcohol affects the diaphragms. And so I do carburetors all the time on these planes for a lot of other people too. You can have the Johns, and this has been, it's just proven. And also as far as the filter goes, Mac Hodges recommended a filter to me, and I've been so happy with this filter ever since. It's a mm-hmm. barrel type brass, machine brass, and it screws at each end O-ring, and inside is one of them needle nose filters screens in there.
Right.
So they have a high capacity. And it's a very low profile, and he uses it in his B-29, and I put that in D-7, and I've never had a worry about fuel ever since.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, good deal.
Well, super. Thank you for listening.
Well, no, thank you. I appreciate you calling in, Gail. Everything going okay with you?
It's going just fine. I had a good time down at the Warbird event in Glen St. Mary here 2 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
We only had about 14 pilots. But they've really done a lot with that shade tree, shade tree facility there. They got power poles now with 30 amps, so I think you can get about 6 or 7 campers hooked up. They got water available, and, of course, the flying site's beautiful. And
nice.
So it's really handy. And if you've never been there, it's turned out to be a really nice place. They're putting some money into it.
Yeah. We're going to be down in Tuscaloosa in, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3 weekends away for that fly-in. And then we're heading up to Toledo. And then I guess the next one we'll see you at will probably be Matt Hodges.
Oh, Camden. Yeah. Have you been to the Camden event yet?
I've been there before. I'm not going to be able to make it this year. I have to watch my budget. But
yeah, we all do. I drag
but,
it.
But that is
around.
A nice, a very, very, very nice
They've got one of these giant revival tents they have now. That I think I call them revival tents. They're one of them great big tents,
mm-hmm.
and it's so big you can put a, and it's free. I mean, you pay your, I mean, unlimited storage of your airplane, so you don't have to break out your pop-up or nothing like that. And the only drawback, of course, is they don't have power, but they do have some generators, and they got water at the building there. You can fill your camper up if you want to do that. But boy, it's a beautiful flying site.
Yeah. Well, that's super. Well, look, I appreciate you calling in. It's always good to hear from you.
All right. Tell my friend I said hi.
I sure will. How's my favorite dog doing?
She's just fine. She's fine.
Well, that's good. I hope to
see you
this summer.
Talk to you later, Mike.
You take care.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Gail Throne. And, you know, it just goes to show you there's 29 ways to skin a cat in this hobby. So, you know, you really need to find out what works best for you and stick with it. And nothing wrong with improving your the way you do things. But be sure and, you know, check your fuel systems out thoroughly. Don't mix types of gas. If you're using regular gasoline, try to get regular gasoline without methanol in it, okay? Without the alcohol, and if possible. If you are, you probably need to be, you know, checking out your carburetors thoroughly each year because it does affect them. Also, looks like we got another caller. Good evening. You're on there.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. This is Chris calling. How are you?
Chris, what's happening, buddy?
Not much. I was just going to comment on the life batteries. I've just switched over to those about 6 months ago myself too, and I agree with the nickel metal batteries. They lose charge, you know, like you said, what was it, 1% per day? And I just got tired of that, and they just seem to be unreliable. So I switched to life batteries, and those really seem to hold a charge well, and you know, have good capacity, and are a little bit lighter than the nickel metal batteries. So it's pretty good all the way around. They're about the same price nowadays. So
yeah, that's right. I was really surprised to learn that. Actually, where was I at? I guess I was at the Rally of Eagles last year, and what sold me on them was Dino pulled out his 109, and he had the electrodynamic batteries in it. And he said, I hadn't flown this plane in almost a year. He said, let's see what's left in it. And he had done the same thing. He had charged it up before he put it up. And he put a charger to it, and it took like 50 milliamps to top it off.
Wow.
That blew me away. I mean, I was sold yeah. right there, you know, because yeah. as you mentioned, you know, you let a nickel metal hydride plane sit out for, you know, all day, and then you go to top it off and you end up dumping, you know, 100, 150, 200 milliamps into it. So
Exactly. But
yeah, they're incredible. I love them. And you're right. That is the way to go for sure.
Yeah. And the other thing was, I think I wrote it in the chat, was I like to unplug all the connections from the receiver and then mm-hmm. plug them back in. There's just something about, you know, you kind of wiping the connector clean by pulling it out and then pushing it back in rather than have it, you know, plugged in for years and years where it can kind of get corrosion between the connectors. So I do that. And then of course, the tie-down tubing, like you said, it gets really hard, so it's nice to replace that.
You know, an old guy that I used to fly with when I was learning RC told me, he said, each year, he said, when you got to plug your wing in, he said, the first time you do it, you plug it in and unplug it about 10 times.
I'm yeah.
like, what? I'm like, what are you talking yeah. about? He said, just do it. And been doing right. it ever since. And you know, it's true because corrosion builds up, you know, as they sit there, and over time it just happens. So that's a smart move to unplug and plug everything. And, you know, another thing too, when you're building your models, and if it's possible, it's best to try and use the appropriate length extensions where you don't have connectors between the servo and the receiver. Minimum number of connectors, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
Because you get too many of them, you know, and they're buried in the wing, that's going to be hard to get in there and try and service. So keep that in mind when you're building. So
yeah, that's a good one. That's good. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you later, Mike. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in, okay? All right, super. Some more good advice there. See, guys, this is how it works. Everybody calls in and gives their little piece of advice that they use, and everyone else, you know, wins. So it's super. I love this story that Mike wrote in the chat. For those guys who are not in the chat but listening, apparently this guy was flying and with his SIG cadet trainer. And it started up and ran good, and he took off, and the plane was really tail-heavy, and they got it down, and they took the wing off and looked, and apparently some critter had got into it and started nesting a bunch of it was stuffed with acorns, the fuselage was. So be sure and look down in your tail section there. That's a pretty neat story, Mike. I have to remember that one. But yeah, you know, there's lots of great things you can do. And when you're building, you want to make sure that you're keeping, you know, things in mind for maintenance, because that's so important. And, all I can say about this is, Mike, was that Matt Jolly by chance? That wasn't Matt Jolly, was it? You know, I'd really like to know that. That kind of sounds like something Matt Jolly would do. Stuff acorns, you know, down the fuselage. But looks like we got a caller. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
I don't think you have a caller, Mike. I don't know what you're doing. You must be
stuffing too many acorns
down the air.
I saw another caller on here. I guess it just got to me in the chat.
No, I don't know who it was that called in, but sorry.
Oh,
no.
Well.
We did have a caller, but they dropped off the line there.
Okay. So you haven't been stuffing
acorns. I didn't stuff acorns down the airplane, but I do have an idea who might have.
Yeah.
If Chippy were here, she'd probably do that. So,
yeah, probably would.
Yeah.
That'd be something Chipmunk would do mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, there's just some great ideas coming in.
I really like Gail's idea, and I was telling you that on our private line there, our private comm line. We do have another call coming in, but hold on a second.
Okay.
The interesting thing about that is, you know, in the avgas is such a great thing, but I guess what I'm trying to go with it, you know, you can't use ethanol gas in general aviation because of that same problem. So I don't know why it would be, you know, any different with the models. Yeah. I mean, what Gil was saying is such a real problem. And if you can find the ethanol-free gas, there's a website out there. That's what I was trying to find.
Right.
I don't know if
right.
you've seen it.
Yes, yes. Where actually, that's where you can get the ethanol.
Yeah, exactly. You can buy it. But I think the idea was what Gil was saying about just making friends with the guys at the FBO and seeing if they can give you a gallon or 2 gallons of the sump gas. That's a great idea. I know there's guys that run it in their lawnmowers and all kind of stuff. But even if you had to buy 5 gallons of it, I mean, it's
$5.19
a gallon. You know, hey, come on, and it's just a much better product than what.
Yeah, for those of you guys who are still flying glow fuel, all I can say is I am sorry because I know what that stuff costs now.
Yeah, 12 gallons, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I nearly fell over. I was in the hobby shop the other day and looking at some 30% heli fuel. It was almost $40 a gallon.
No kidding. I haven't seen
that. No kidding.
30,
yeah.
30. Yep. We used to run the YS-2020 and all the pattern, in the pattern engines, and it was like 20-something a bottle.
Right, right. Yeah, it's really gone up over the last couple.
$40 a gallon. Good God. I mean, what are they putting in that stuff these days?
I don't know. Liquid gold? I don't know. But
man.
It's a little ridiculous.
Time to go electric, that's for sure.
Yeah, really. Well, I'll tell you what, man. We've had some great calls
tonight
about with some good information. And of course, it's always great to hear from Gil. You know, he's such a nice guy. And thanks for Chris calling in too. So, Jeff in the chat saying why is 2020 that 2020 fuel is running $30 a gallon?
Good
now.
Lord.
So, it's just – and, Horizon for the longest time wanted you to run 20-20 or 30% in the Setos.
Yeah.
To make them last, And but, yeah, now there's no way. But that's just crazy.
Wow. Good stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And well, you're an old hand at RC. What were some of your tricks that you've used in the past?
Well, Michael, I believe in soaking the rubber bands in baby powder and flour. Yeah, I had a guy that used to tell me that all the time. He says, I don't fly an airplane unless it's been soaked in baby powder, the rubber bands. That was a big deal. Big deal.
Absolutely.
Back then. No, I don't know. I think you've touched on some good points. Your checklist is the checklist that I've used, and I think it's great. I will say the thing that I think a lot of guys, and especially today with all the computer radios, fail to check, and this is something that I think we're all guilty of, and I lost it. Well, I didn't lose an airplane to it. I was able to land it, but it took a while. Check to make sure that you didn't inadvertently reverse the servos over the winter.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what it is about that, but if you're in there working on something or I don't know. Sometimes things happen. Especially with the old radios. Remember how they had them on the bottom there, and you could just kind of, like the old Aerotronics or some of those, you could just kind of click the dip switch there, and it would reverse the servo. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was a big problem back then. Now not so much, but even with the computer radios, I know with the B-17, it seemed like that was a problem at one point. Something had reversed. I don't know. Don't screw with it. Don't let me in the shop. That's the other thing. If I'm anywhere near your shop, check everything out.
It's funny when you're building these things, a lot of times you put them together upside down to check radio things.
Yeah.
And you get in the habit of doing that. So it's always good to let someone else look over your airplane too.
I know something else we were going to tell you that I used to do too, and I still do this, is I change the gears out and the servos every 100 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
I do that. That's an old pattern thing, but especially with the non-metal gear stuff. Plastic gear stuff. It's just important to check that stuff out because, you lose a gear on an elevator servo and it's all over.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. I've actually still got like two of my old Kraft RC radio servos from my original RC system that I got when I was a teenager. And you know what, Matt? They still work.
I don't doubt it.
You're still
really excited about talkie movies, though. I mean, that's...
That's right, man.
Yeah, the Galloping Ghost and all that
the
stuff.
The latest and the greatest.
God.
Well, I tell you what, that sounds great. Why don't we take a commercial break, and we'll come back and maybe take a few more calls and talk
great.
About a few more things. And yes, Matt is showing his age, P-51 nut. That's right. He used to use kitty litter, it looks like, Matt.
Did he? Kitty litter works, too, but baby powder, that's the cat's meow.
That's right,
I'm told.
Man.
So I'm told.
Well, all right, folks, stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the RC Scale Builder Show after these messages.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
St. Adams here from the Wednesday Night Wix Show, here to tell you about the new aviation t-shirts available now at warbirdradio.com/deals. Click on the Wright Brothers catalog link. There are lots of great t-shirts to choose from, like the classic World War II Flying Tigers, Tuskegee Airmen, and the ever-popular P-51 Mustang, as well as many other fun aviation designs. Talk to you next Wednesday evening on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Show, and hopefully you'll be listening wearing your new Aerostyle t-shirt. Visit warbirdradio.com/deals now and check out the all-new Wright Brothers catalog.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on warbirdradio.com.
Hi friends, Matt Jolly here to tell you about a special offer from my friends at Aero Cinema. Just log on to warbirdradio.com/deals and watch for free Aero Cinema's new feature presentation on Scott Yoke's P-51 Quicksilver. Inside you'll find a special Aero Cinema subscription rate that's so good I'm not allowed to say it on the air. So click on warbirdradio.com/deals, that's warbirdradio.com/deals, and watch Quicksilver for free, plus receive that special offer from Aero Cinema. Just remember, warbirdradio.com/deals.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave.
Wave.
This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we're glad you're here with us tonight. It's a wonderful Tuesday night here in the Southeast. The temperature's just perfect. Got my adult beverage here. I got my flying buddies in the chat room talking to you all. We're having a good time. So be sure and give us a call at 478-787-4768, or you can Skype us at Warbird Radio. You can also shoot us an email at live@rcscalebuilder.com, or just simply join in on the live chat, and hopefully we can get your question there and read it. But we'd love to hear from you by calling in. The other thing that I would like to challenge, let's see, I'm looking at the chat room here. I would like to hear from one of our Aussie friends. I know that you guys are kind of dead in the middle, almost wrapping up your flying season. I'd like to hear what you guys do down there to get your models ready for storage in the winter. So maybe give us a call. I think Rob's there. So Rob, we'd love to hear from you if you want to Skype us. Just pick up Skype and Skype us at Warbird Radio. We'd love to hear from you. Sorry, guys. Let's see. We've got a couple of other things to cover here real quick before we get a caller, hopefully. But I wanted to talk about some upcoming events brought to you by myrcevents.com. Be sure and check them out and post your own club events there on myrcevents.com. We've got the Weak Signals RC Expo coming up April 13th through the 15th in Toledo, Ohio. We'll be there. And, of course, Saturday night we'll be having the RCSB spaghetti dinner. We've already lined up a bunch of door prizes. And our goal this year is for everybody to walk away with a door prize. So we're going to try. I'm not promising you that, but that's what we're trying to do. So be sure and join us if you can. There's a thread on upcoming I think there's a thread in the at the top of every forum on RC Scale Builder about it if you want to check it out. Also, the Sodbusters Warbird Fly-In, April 26th through 29th in Camden, South Carolina. Top Gun, May 2nd through the 6th. I'll be there spectating with all my friends. Mint Julep Scale Qualifier, May 18th through the 20th, and we'll have more events coming up as we get on into the season. But if you'd like your event listed, shoot me an email, and you know, I'd love to hear from you and tell us about your scale event that you're involved with, and we'll read it on the air for you. Matt, you know, one thing, I don't know if our, you know, listeners knew about it. I know they knew that you guys had a baby on the way, and that you had it. How's everything working out for you along those lines?
Everything's going great, Mike. Healthy baby boy, and he's in the other room tonight.
That's awesome.
Sacked out of sleep. So yeah, good stuff.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. It's not going to be long. He's going to be one to do this stuff. So we hope.
That's right. You're going to have to find a miniature pair of headphones.
Take it. That's right.
With rabbit ears on them.
That's right. You know, I was just thinking, though, it's funny how the safety show has changed over the years, because you've been doing this now, what, 3 years now, I guess, and it's interesting that now we're talking about spread spectrum. We're not as worried as, you know, we used to be about, hey, be sure and make sure your radio is dialed in, and, you know, you send it off every few years. And there's just so many things that have changed in the course of just the few years of the show. And I think one of the biggest things that has really come online, in my opinion, is the new spread spectrum and how great this has been. Because you and I both remember the days when you had to go get the pen to fly, and there was a huge concern that, you know, someone was going to turn the radio on and shoot the airplane. I mean, it was all you thought about when you went to the flying field. Is don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything stupid. And if I do something stupid, make it my airplane that crashes, not the other guys.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And,
you know, is the crystal there? And I remember the first time, this is something that always bugs me. I remember the first time my JR radio, the fuse burnt out for some reason.
Oh.
And I went in there, and you know the fuse I'm talking about. There's this big fuse. And you go in there and you look at that thing and you think, this is all that's keeping that airplane in the air. You ever had that thought? I mean, seriously. I mean, there's no good way to check those, but you wonder why a transmitter case is important. There's a very good reason for you. And anyway, that's...
I have a whole pack of those. I learned the hard way. I have a whole pack of those fuses in my transmitter case.
Now, there's nothing worse. I mean, there's just nothing worse than that.
Yeah,
so.
It'll ruin your day.
You have a caller. It looks like Rob's on the line. You want to take the call here?
Yeah, right? Let's take a call from Rob. Rob, are you there, bud?
Hey, Gum, Mike. How are you?
You know, I just had to get my weekly recommended allowance of Aussie speak. What's going on down in Australia these days, buddy?
Not much, actually. As for the flying season, it's probably going to keep going for a bit longer, I think, with the way the weather is at the moment.
Oh, good. Well, that's great to hear. So what kind of things do you do to get your planes ready for winter storage? Do you clean them up real good? Or do you disconnect things? What do you do?
Yeah, generally I disconnect most of the fuel lines, clean it all up. Tygon tubing I generally actually get rid of and put a fresh lot in every season.
Yeah,
I just don't trust the stuff. Had one split on me a couple of years ago, and yeah, didn't end too well for that plane, but such is life.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
I got a quick question for you, though. Matt just brought up a really, really
this is technical point. Stuff.
Yeah, this is real. Since you're on the other side of the world, do you put them up or do you put them down?
Yeah, for the winter.
Yeah.
It's getting late in the show. Sorry, Rob.
You know, we got to get all the Aussie jokes in while we can. Yeah. You know,
why not?
You pickle them in Foster's. That's the other thing, I guess.
That's right. Yeah. Pickle those airplanes in Foster's. Right. That's what you do.
That's
right?
What we do here in the States. So,
well, down south it's the Coopers.
Yeah.
Oh, Coopers.
Leave the Foster's for the Eastern guys.
I hear you. Hey, I do have a question for you.
Yes,
you know. Your area where you live is notoriously bad for having lots of critters of different variations. Either it be in snakes, spiders, you know. I think when Australia was formed, all the poisonous creatures were dropped there.
The really nasty ones.
Then they just kind of spread out from there. But how do you keep? You know, you were telling me the other day about how you actually had to go out and check your shop out and spray it and clean it up to make sure there were no critters in there. Do you have to do that each spring, too? Do they tend to get in there in the wintertime?
Yeah, I'll do it a couple of times a year. We call them bug bombs. It's like a big can, and you just leave it, put it in the center of the room, press the button, and it just fumigates the whole place.
Hey, let me tell you something. If you get a plastic bag and put your head in there with it, when you set it off, you'll be amazed what you'll see.
Oh, you don't even need to, the things come crawling out of everywhere when you let that thing off.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mike has a real problem with dingoes around his shop. And I'm sorry, dingbats. I know that's what it was. Yeah, dingbats. Yeah.
I do, you know.
Yeah. Getting in
no
there.
Dingo, Alabama dingoes. You know, it's you know the dingo ate my baby. Sorry.
God, way to go, Mike.
But, you know, we have a great time here, and Rob, I'm really glad that you called in tonight because you know, I don't know what it is, Matt, but have you ever noticed whenever you talk to someone from Australia, you just start smiling?
They say the same thing about folks from Alabama, Mike. So it's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, but the reason they smile from Alabama when they talk to people from Alabama because they're thinking that dumb redneck.
You know? Well, you know, hey, that's all right. We are glad you called in, though, Rob. And
absolutely.
No, it's always great. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we're glad you're doing that, and be sure and when you get a chance, post some pictures up there of your airplanes on our Facebook page at some point. Love to see some of them. So
yeah, got to stop. Putting some more pictures up.
Yeah, you
know, he just really got heavy into Facebook. I guess you saw that, Matt, when he added you or you added him. But, you know, I'm trying to find some really, really good Australian material to put on his page, but it's just not out there. I think they, like, hide it from me or something.
Probably do, yeah. They're probably keen to your ways now, so.
I'll put little Johnny on there, but I think that someone will be able to take that too well.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate
it. Thanks for the call, Rob.
Absolutely.
No worries. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right, see ya.
Oh, well, that's always fun, Mike. Well, it's a good safety show again, and I'll tell you, this has been a fun one.
Yeah, folks, be sure, and I also post a link on RC Scale Builder, but if you go to shows, the RC Scale Builder show on Warbird Radio, there's a link right there to download the checklist. Like I said, save this thing, give it to your club members, put it on your club website, whatever. It's yours to do whatever you wish. And if you would like an original Word version of it to be able to edit it and put your club logo or whatever, just shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to send that to you.
Well, that's great stuff.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a simple sheet to check everything out, and I hope everybody this year has a very safe flying season and always think safety. You know, it's supposed to be fun, but let's be safe about it too.
Yeah, way to end it up, Mike.
That's right, and I guess it's going to wrap it up then. And you know, I wanted to thank you for getting my theme music back on.
You're very welcome. It's right here. So
is it?
Yeah.
Well, there it is. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up then. Hope you all enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with another great interview and more information about what's going on in RC Scale. In the meantime, be sure to join us on rcscalebuilder.com for some of the best information on scale bidding on the net. And thanks to all of you listening. And be sure and stay tuned here on Warbird Radio for more great programming on the world's only dedicated Warbird radio station. Good night, everybody.